Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's that time.
Gresh and Fourier right now on WEEI.
Woo! Some hot fire from Rodney Harrison right there.
Thank you.
We got more of that coming up. I'll tell you, as we're now, inside a week to the NFL draft. 6 days, 9 hours, 59 minutes. And we will be in Detroit next week.
Already made us a dinner reservation. Got a nice little steakhouse for us. So we can.
Can't
we
wait.
Found out the hot spot where everybody will be hanging out. So we can kind of, you know, rub shoulders with all the powerful people in the NFL and, you know, maybe get some in. Hey, maybe, because I made a reservation for Wednesday. Okay, 7 o'clock Wednesday night. When we're done that Thursday morning, we'll have a lot of inside information because this is when these deals get done.
We really
this
need
is when all the stories are released.
We need a lot of inside info to know that the Patriots, who have been on the roller coaster and been like, the whole time since Bill walked out the door. Do you think we need the real breakdown?
No, I'm not looking for a breakdown. So the draft is Thursday night. Wednesday night, all these GMs will be getting drunk. The coaches will be letting their hair down a little bit. And, like, they'll be, hey, this is a safe space. Hey, I can talk freely, and nobody's going to hear me, right? But the place that I found, I have a very, very important source who was tied into the city of Detroit.
He
said, and you can co-sign on this, this is where everyone will be Wednesday night. And there's a little speakeasy downstairs. And again, we'll be giving you all the information that nobody else in this city will be able to give you, because we will be having boots on the ground and all the hot spots down in Detroit.
Now, listen, on the back end of that, no one will cover the draft like us. I completely agree. However, I'm a little worried.
At what?
You, friend.
Oh, you're worried about me?
No.
Making
I didn't
choices.
Get to finish. No. You are notorious for telling people like Lou Merlone, who's going to come up at noon. Yeah, go to the Unshake Shack in San Francisco, or go to the Friendly Flopper in Seattle. How do you know that our mutual friend isn't effing with you? And might have told us the one place to go to that we walk in there Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and it's Myrtle from...
It's a bunch of blue hairs.
Myrtle from East Lansing and all of her Canasta friends or something. You know what I mean? that's my little worry, is that maybe you're getting Fourier.
Maybe. I think he changed it.
What? See? He gave you the wrong name, didn't he?
You heard you talking about the place, now they have to change it.
Prime and Proper Steakhouse is where everyone will go. Nice speakeasy club downstairs. Nice joint.
So here we go. Is Fourier getting Fourier'd by our NFL friend, who, by the way, lives in Michigan. Great. Played here in New England.
Yep. Tied in.
Very tied in.
He's very tied in. Yeah, it's kind of like Greg in Boston.
I've actually gone drinking with that gentleman at one point in time in 09 when life was very different.
Yeah.
I mean, and he can drink.
I was on a train with him from New York City back to Providence, and he wouldn't stop drinking.
Yeah. He can pound. I'm just wondering if you're getting Fourier'd, and we're going to walk in, and we're going to be the a-holes.
Yeah, there's like a costume party.
Yeah, exactly.
I came as an ex-athlete.
Yeah, all the furries will be there because, folks, at 1:30, we're going to introduce you to Strudel the Furry.
I don't know if I can wait till 1:30.
I'm going to make you wait till 1:30.
For Strudel the Furry.
You need to wait for your Strudel.
And I will promise you, I promise you right now, this is a 100% true story. Not fabricated in any way, not exaggerated at all. I vetted it out because I didn't believe it when I saw it.
I went through the Fourier News Network.
Yeah, and I will say that the big deal, no big deal story at 12:45 is actually more unbelievable,
Radio,
quite frankly.
Radio Chick 81 said, I'm sorry, what? Yeah, that's right. We're going to introduce you to Strudel.
Yeah.
Christian's Strudel. Yeah. Story.
For some reason, I at mentioned Shime on the tweet, the video that I sent out talking about the furry at 1:30.
Yeah.
And because I thought he was into furries.
I think he's not into furries. He might be into a little bit of everything. We don't know.
Okay, but what is it that he's into?
He's into the hentai. He's into the hentai.
Anime. Bongos. He's into bongos.
Well, I think that's like a safe word
that's
or something.
His safe word.
Oh, yeah.
I learned this in working with Keith and with Shime. There is the Japanese anime, and then there is hentai.
Okay.
And I do believe hentai is the anime porno.
All right.
At least that's what I've been led to believe. I would say, hey, Bridget, can you confirm that? But I'd probably get fired.
I don't know the answer.
Or say, yeah, you don't know that one, Bridget?
I do not know the answer.
Bridget's in for Billy today. So half of the Twitch audience is going to be sitting there with their tongues out all day.
Bridget's cookies.
Yeah, Bridget's cookies. I'm shocked.
Why is there not a Twitch
Bridget's cookies.
Bridget's cookies handle.
I'm just surprised that you didn't like automatically be like, "Where's the cookies?"
No,
I'm surprised too.
I know.
You are, aren't you? See, you would have thought that he would have come in and been like, "Oh, Bridget's here. Where's the treats?"
Well, she's like a big time announcer now. Like, so she's way beneath making cookies. You know, it's like she's big time. I'm surprised she's even allowing herself to hang out with us.
It is true that, the hockey season is now motoring down. So Bridget now kind of comes back to us a little bit for a couple of months and then goes off into the sweet good night to go call a bunch of games and all that. But Nick, hold on. Let me disappoint the Twitch audience. Nick, you're doing trending today, correct?
Nope.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Oh,
we're gonna
my
get Twitch
God.
What they want.
Twitch numbers through.
Who's in charge of the camera today?
Bridget doing Twitch in 15 minutes for all
of
you creepy Twitchers. There you go.
Bunch of pervs out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, Billy gets a ton of camera time, so Bridget's going to as well. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Bridget's
spread the word.
Trending.
Oh, my God. We're at Greg Hill numbers now. We're at 2,000 on Twitch because people are going to get to look at Bridget. Good grief. Well,
we should just put Billy in a blonde wig.
I don't know if it, I think the accent difference would kind of tip it off a little bit. You know, not. I mean, Billy speaks Boston.
He does.
Bridget has been working on her non-regional diction for many years because you need that in the play-by-play world.
Yeah, but I would like to somehow channel the accent for the trending, but I would butcher it. So,
but could you imagine having Bridget, if you had the Billy accent and
Bridget's
then you're
my OnlyFans page.
Yeah. The here tonight, it's Quinnipiac against UConn. You know, it would be hilarious.
Love for him to do a
game. It would be fantastic.
Like a shock.
Didn't the other day he said the Guardians?
The Guardians. Yep. Oh yeah. It's beautiful for crying out loud. Absolutely beautiful. Oh, and here we go on. There we go. Homebrewed. Bridget here. $5 a happy boy. R Rabbit. Hey, Bridget. Killer for hire. Hot. C. Joseph 92. To be fair, she's better looking than Billy. Dang.
Nothing sexier than the birth of the Lord.
We will get to the hockey talk with our guy, Andrew Raycroft. Little update to the schedule. Don Sweeney said something about the goalies, but all of this is better than, I guess, talking about the Red Sox at this point, who really kicked the ball around yesterday. I mean, I know it was a bullpen game. I know that the Red Sox had some things working against them. Didn't exactly have the best of lineups out there, even independent of Trevor Story being dinged up. But it just feels like I think what we've seen so far this season, Christian, is what we're going to have to deal with all year long. There's going to be wild ups and there's going to be wild downs.
Yeah.
And you hope to God that at the end of it, you go 7-3 on a road trip and 3-7 on a homestand. You're 10-10. You're granted in last place in the division, but still, you're kind of just treading water at this point, and that's what it feels like.
They find new ways, though, to screw games up.
Well,
they find new games, and I listened to all the post games.
We're only 20 in.
It is amazing. It is amazing. So, tell me if you, because I was watching Tom Caron last night a little bit, because when I was watching the game on Nesson, and he mentioned the fact that the young players are so bad defensively because in 2020 there was no minor league baseball.
Yeah, that's crap.
Do you? It's now Tom's total. Great. Okay, I love Tom, but
he's a great guy.
That is just. I mean, maybe he's just searching for an excuse for them because they're so bad. Because they create new, and it's like fundamental stuff. It's easy stuff. It's stuff that you go, hey, I don't care if you don't practice in your sport. You play every day. There's no time to rep stuff. I don't care. This, you should be able to do this.
Correct.
If I put professional ball player, if I put AAA ball player, if I put high school All-American, you should be able to do this unless you're so inside your head and you can't fight your way out. That's got to be it, right?
I think that the game of baseball, unfortunately, for a period of time, turned into a couple of things. How many guys can I find to hit the ball out of the ballpark? How many guys can I find that throw 100 miles an hour? And most people stopped caring or devalued defense. Because I think for too many, it was a money ball factor. And it also requires a level of detail and work ethic at the minor league level that I don't think you can force on young players.
Who was the pitcher for the Red Sox who couldn't throw to first base? Right?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. There was a lot of them.
Sean Lester.
It was Lester. Thank you. So Lester, even though he's highly skilled,
mm-hmm.
can pinpoint, fastball, curve, you name it, and when he's pitching. But if a dribbler came to him, he couldn't throw it to first base.
It became a tick or a mental issue. Well, catchers have had that before. One of the most famous ones that I remember, and real baseball fans will remember this, Mackie Sasser was a longtime catcher. I know it's a funny name, Nick. But if
what
you
was this, 1912?
No. This is 90s, I think to early 2000. And it might even be in the but probably 90s more. But the catcher Mackie Sasser, it was like the guy couldn't throw the ball. There have been catchers where they can't get it back to the pitcher, or they can't throw the ball to second base, so they would get stolen on all the time.
Well, that's my Lester tick.
Well, yeah.
To my point, and because I think Lester was like, it was probably more mental than anything.
That's what it is.
This isn't mental.
No, Christian, I disagree. I think this is more of the, it doesn't come natural to some guys in terms of fielding, and you got to communicate out there. I mean, to me, part of the reason why you had the whole Tyler O'Neill running into Raffy Devers and stuff like that is you need the one person who can take charge, but everybody has also got to listen as well. And that's why I put in here the whole 12 errors and 10 games on the homestand. We were getting into the who's to blame. I can't look at Alex Cora and say this is a Cora-led issue. This is a fundamental issue, no pun intended on the word fundamental, that is much more in terms of coming up and through minor league baseball. I can't wait to talk to Lou about this at noon, because Lou had the breakdown on the whole, yeah, you want to know why kids have arm injuries? Because they're trying to throw the ball with just power. That's all they're doing. They're just trying to learn how to throw the ball as fast as they can. And I think Major League Baseball for a period of time, Christian, went through a real issue with fundamentals. It became bad. Seriously, I'll hit Lou with this noon. The way you and I laugh at modern offense, whatever that is, and you say to people, well, describe that, and they can't.
Explain it.
To me, that's sort of the modern offense kind of thing is what happened for a period of time in big league baseball. I just want a bunch of people who hit it far and throw it hard, and then we'll figure out the rest. And you forgot about fundamentals. That's why when we went to the pitch clock, base running was a disaster for a lot of teams because guys had gotten out of the mode of thinking about, oh, there could be some strategy of me stealing a base or taking an extra base or something like that. We went away just like, ooh, what's the modern offense? Ooh, give me a QB that can run around and throw it 75 yards. Whee! That's what it felt like baseball went through in terms of throw it fast, hit it far.
So is this a bigger – well, there's that. And I saw that was the first one with the Tom Caron whole, like, hey, they didn't know minor league baseball. But what about this with the whole – with the lineup yesterday? We were talking to Bradford about this yesterday when our show ended. I mentioned this to him, like the lineup that they threw out there of Duran, Casas, Abreu, Valdez, Wong, Hamilton, Reyes, McGuire, Rafaela, and Bernardino. I didn't do the math, but there's only one person on this starting lineup that makes over $1.5 million. There's one other person that makes $1 million. After that, everybody is under $760,000, which I'm assuming is league minimum for where these guys are at. Your payroll for regardless of this being a day game and you got to get away and you, whatever, you want to try and save some arms, it's amazing. Like, nobody's making any money. And it's reason. What about the whole saying, you pay what you get, you get what you pay for?
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes it's bull crap because I've seen the Red Sox pay for a lot of people and they do not get their money's worth at all. But this, is this an indication of guys being hurt and they're just throwing out whoever they can? Or is this overall just the way this season is going to be?
Well, when you have no Trevor Story and you have no Devers in the lineup, I mean, those are what, the two highest paid guys or almost highest paid guys on the roster. I did the quick math on the season salaries for yesterday based on what you put in there. The total comes to a whopping $8,540,000. And that's not for a day, folks. That's for the season. For what that lineup yesterday is going to make. So that's what?
So
or 10 guys.
So you should expect this. Like, this, all this is going to be expected. None of this is going to change. None of it's going to change. Cora will absolutely pull the remaining hair he has out of his head. And that beard that is so gray and white, looking like Papa Smurf up there, it's just going to get worse. They are not going to get better in real time.
He cannot fix the defensive issues they have. It's that simple. I don't know if there is a manager, quite honestly, out there who would have the ability to be able to grab this group and to be able to fix them up. It's just it's got to be a work in progress.
Eventually, there's going to be a scapegoat for this season.
Mm-hmm.
There is going to, because in every season has one, every team has one when they fundamentally just, you know, fall to on their face.
Well, do you think that it's already built in that Cora's going to be that guy? Because you and I sit here and are like, this guy's gone. He's just, you know, playing out the string. We even talked to somebody over at Fenway yesterday. We asked him, like, what's your feel on Cora? Oh, he's just playing out the string this year. It's just kind of the way it is.
He's running his 5 miles, and he's fine.
So that's the thing. I almost feel like it's going to get baked into Cora, and then they're going to have defensive issues next year, and people are going to be like, wow, maybe these guys really do suck on defense.
If they throw – if Alex Cora is the fall guy, if he is the scapegoat, my prediction, get the drum ready, is that he will be viewed the same way Bill is now with the whole dynasty being over.
Well, that's an interesting premise because,
and in the end, Bill looks like the better person, the rational person, the smarter person, and Cora will also.
You know what's interesting about you bringing that up? You bringing that up is interesting because usually it's the Red Sox who engage in the smear campaign when people leave town. And it feels like the Patriots have – they haven't ripped the full-blown page out of the book, but they've definitely read the book and copied the page and are like, okay, here's what we can go to in terms of how we want to besmirch our former head coach. But the difference is, I don't think Red Sox fans are going to fall for it. Part of the reason Patriot fans are a little upset or are a tad askew is because of the way things went in the offseason relative to maybe smearing the good GD name of Bill Belichick or something like that. Or we're seeing maybe kind of the other side of ownership. Even Elliot Wolf yesterday, among the first comments that he made, it was like beacon of, oh, here's what people are saying. Let me make sure I get it out there that we feel like we have pro position groups and that we've got pros that we can put out there on offense. Red Sox fans ain't going to fall for that. I don't think it will be, oh, yeah, they got to get rid of Cora because he's the problem. In fact, if anything, I think when Cora goes, Christian, the heat gets turned up on the existing management over there. Because now it's okay.
There's anybody to blame.
It's okay, you got your guy out of the way. Now how are you then going to turn around and fix this? Because we've all been, if we're going to be real about it, I think we've all been very surprised how some of the rhetoric has come out of Foxborough, whether through the dynasty or elsewhere, now that Bill has left the
building. The other aspect is, if you really want to be honest, like neither one of the last Chaim Bloom or Breslow, neither one of these guys got to pick their manager. They both inherited, basically, Cora. So who knows if that would have been the guy they would have picked. I mean, maybe there was some tension built in because of Cora's, you know, past winnings and then the ownership's affection towards him probably gave Bloom no choice.
I think the difference is that there were some with Belichick who were waiting to, you know, get the hatchet out, so to speak. But for a lot of fans, it's, okay, that guy ain't perfect, but Jesus, look what he did for us. Look at all the great times. People aren't really skewering him. I think it's going to be – people are already hip to the ownership thing. We even have a texter. Good morning to the texters at 37937. The 603 says it's ownership. They suck. He ain't going to blame – it's one of those who's not going to blame Alex Cora. Sox head to Pittsburgh, Bayo Day. Bridget's got more on that coming up. Good morning to the Twitchers and and those of you on Twitter and the texters and watching on YouTube. You can go to YouTube, type in WEEI. Live stream will pop right up for you. Bruins schedule is out. Game one tomorrow, 8 o'clock, TBS. Game two is Monday. That one is going to be on ESPN. Don Sweeney did some speaking yesterday. Here is the Bruins GM talking about playing both goalies in the postseason, or really addressing the plan.
My answer hasn't changed from my previous one. We're very comfortable with both goaltenders. They know the plan as to what we're going to do, and our team is very comfortable with both goaltenders. So performance and results may change, you know, what our approach looks like, but we know what the plan is going into the playoffs.
Well, they've decided, Christian, and it's different than last year.
They've decided officially?
Well, yeah, Don Sweeney just said it.
And who is it?
It's both.
Is it both? No, who's starting tomorrow? That's what I want to know.
I don't know if they've I don't know if they've officially put that out, but I'm assuming.
Is it? I highly doubt they're going to let us know until the guy walks out on the
Probably not. Bridget, it might be one of those, will they even cover it up tomorrow morning skate? Like send both guys out, both guys off. Get into that level of kind of espionage. But last year it was, oh, you got to pick one. This year it feels like the Bruins are much more comfortable with their rotation. We'll get into it with Andrew Raycroft coming up at 11:25. And then how about this? 2 days after Jaden Daniels was the clear favorite to be the second overall pick, now Drake May and Jaden Daniels have the same odds to be the number two pick on both DraftKings and FanDuel. And deep down, is this really what the Patriots want? Fourier and I will unpack that. Razor at 11:25, Lou at noon. Here's Bridget. She's ready to trend.
The Rich Keefe Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEI and WEI.com. The Red Sox lost to the Guardians 5-4 yesterday afternoon. The Red Sox now sit at 10-10 on the year as they head to Pittsburgh to play the Pirates. Rafael Devers was diagnosed with a bone bruise in his knee after getting imaging done yesterday. He is not expected to go on the IL. Brian Baio will get the start for the Sox today opposite the Pirates' Quinn Priester. First pitch with Joe Castig and Lou Maloney is at 6:40 on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEI Red Sox Network, Shaw's Performance. perfecting the art of fresh. And don't forget to tune in to the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show at 5:40 with Rich Keefe. It's NHL playoff eve. The Bruins and the Maple Leafs begin their first round matchup tomorrow night. Puck drop will be at TD Garden at 8 p.m. Johnny Beecher and Mason Lorai were just recalled from Providence today and are options for the Game 1 lineup. The NBA's play-in tournament wraps up tonight. The Heat play the Bulls at 7 p.m. Jimmy Butler will miss tonight's game with an MCL sprain. The Celtics await the winner as they start their first round series on Saturday at 1 p.m. Trending Now is brought to you by Time Out Market. Time Out Market Boston is a food and cultural market near Fenway Park with 14 unique food concepts, some of New England's best top local brews. Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Bridget Pru, and that's what's trending now.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You can watch the show anytime via our live stream on Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and check out WEEI on YouTube for our video on demand content updated daily. Now, more of Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
So that little betting nugget that I dropped there, Fourier, and by the way, at 10:30, Gresh and Fourier, another winner, another group of winners in the lunchtime parlay. How about that? Of course, one of the games got canceled that added a little juice to the parlay. You won about $70 if you rode with us. Our guy Bears out in Arizona listening on the Odyssey app once again.
Really? How about Nick's friend who wimped out?
Donut said, I'm taking everything besides Mike Trout.
Yeah, for those who, our guy Donuts Carrero, who for those who remember was for one season the right-hand man of Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione in the Sox booth, and now he's working in the nerdy stat world of baseball or whatever, our boy Nate. He did not believe in your Mike Trout part of the parlay, and he porked himself.
And talk about juice, that provided the most juice. And
well,
since we lost the Knicks bet.
Yeah, that Marlins game got rained out, postponed, whatever the hell it was. And,
again, house money.
There is no such thing.
There is no such thing. I was like, wait a second. I agree with you?
So, deep down, off of that little gambling nugget where now it's even, and the betting markets are not necessarily an indicator of how things are going to go. But now you've got both guys at last check, it was -115 for either Drake May or Jaden Daniels to be the number two pick in the draft, signifying an odds shift. Do you make anything of that?
No. There is no such thing. I like that. Means a lot to me. Do I make anything of the lines moving?
Yeah, basically.
No, I was actually going to ask you, what would be the indicator inside the bowels of all the, you know, where all these lines are made? I have no idea who does it. What would be the indicator for those people who are deciding to move the lines, you know, who set them originally, to change them?
I think it would probably just be connected to overall handle of the sports books that all talk to each other, let's say.
So it's not like somebody talked to somebody. It's like they're just following the grid.
I think some of it can be informational. I would say some of it might be just trying to juice the betting market a little bit to get a little more on both. I don't think it's necessarily a massive indicator of what is to come, but it has proven an indicator in the past.
Because I would just, because I'm glad you said that, because there isn't a real indicator. It's all manipulated. It's all, everybody's just, they're just messing with your mind.
Well,
here's
the thing.
They're just trying to trick you is what they're doing.
If there weren't bet, I wouldn't say that. If there weren't bet limits on this, it would be easier to just sort of follow the money. The following the money is now on the ticket count and just the overall amount of handle. Or maybe there were a couple of places, Christian, that allowed more than, you know, four figures on a bet or something like that when it comes to these. Because with these kinds of props in terms of where players could be drafted within a draft, there are some states that don't even allow you to bet on that.
Yeah, and just for – so last year at this time, this is from your buddy from Sharp Football, right? No, but last year,
my massive friend base.
Yeah, NFL draft odds. Okay, for the number two overall pick, Will Levis was the favorite to be the number two pick in the draft overall.
And what did he go, eighth or something? Or
Will Levis?
Oh no, he went 33rd. Sorry,
or whatever. Stuck around like
all
day.
Will Levis because somebody on Reddit that was actually right about something beforehand posted that on Reddit, so it boosted everything for Will Levis through the roof.
Do you remember who the second pick was? Was it Will Anderson?
No, C.J. Stroud.
Oh, okay. So C.J. Stroud at this time last year was plus 500.
Levis was pick 33.
Yeah. So and then you had Tyree Wilson, who was an edge rusher out of Texas Tech. Will Anderson, who from Alabama went to Houston. And, yes, C.J. Stroud, plus 500. So to answer your question, a long-winded way of getting to it, no. I make absolutely nothing, read nothing into this. Zero.
So now that we've got that established, isn't this what the Patriots are kind of sort of praying for? Oh, Jaden Daniels fell to us at number three. Boy, how lucky are we?
How do you think if the Commanders are at two, they have your pick, the pick that you want.
Mm-hmm. They have your guy.
They have your guy, right? Because you listen to Schefter, it's pretty much just a done deal that Jaden Daniels is going to be coached by Cliff Kingsbury.
Well, Adam Peters, the GM in Washington, I do believe yesterday said something to the effect of, yeah, we have no reason to move off number two.
Yeah, no, yeah, but he's like, not even going to happen, yeah. Basically. We're sticking around, which is like a hard-o move in itself. If I'm the Patriots, what do I have to do to kind of send a flare or a message or, you know, a secret note?
Message in a bottle?
To let the Commanders know that there's something wrong with Jaden Daniels that they previously didn't realize.
Yeah, that's hard.
You got to scare them. What could you – because the only people that you're really trying to get to, because I 100% believe that the guy that they want is Jaden Daniels. And I think because the guy they want is Jaden Daniels and they're not going to be able to get him, they will change their philosophy with the third pick in the draft.
Well, here's the problem is that if the Patriots are engaging in any sort of kind of smear campaign, propaganda, or something like that to try to hurt the stock of Daniels for them to fall to him or to fall to them, it becomes counterintuitive in a way. Hey, let me crap all over this player and then pump up the fact that we got him.
They wouldn't do it openly. It would be a back-channeling thing.
Right, and
you know
that a lot of that stuff does get out, and all it takes is one pissed-off agent.
You know what it takes?
To be able to put that out.
Somebody releasing a video of somebody doing something that they shouldn't be doing an hour before the draft.
So we need somebody to release a full-blown gas mask, weed-smoking video of Jaden Daniels.
That's it.
But nowadays, I don't even know people care. I watched that Laramie Tunsil video and was like, "Now that's inventive."
At the time he could have gotten suspended for it.
Yeah, I didn't think when I was looking at that video that came out of Laramie Tunsil, I was not thinking, "Boy, that guy can't be my left tackle." It's like, come on now.
It is funny
Jordan
though. Like
Davis like drag raced and somebody died.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Still
and what 15
pick.
Or whatever it was. Yeah.
If most of these like if these schools knew what really went on, that's why. The one thing that stood out to me with Bill when he talked about draft process, there's the medical, there's the tape, there's the in-person evaluation, the personality test, and then there's, what do you call it? I think he called it security.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's basically like, okay, how many private investigators can I hire to really find out the truth? Because everybody's hiding everything, so you talk to their friends, you go to their school, you try to... There's so many draftees that I know about that are either coming out this year that other... players have told me, and I'm like, wow, if the scouts knew this, they would run for the hills. They would run. The teams would run. But every single kid coming out has got something that if they knew about it, they'd be really worried about it. Because not everybody's a Bible-thumping, tree-hugging, perfect person. Most of them are flawed.
Yeah.
I would say 90% of them are flawed
in some way. And they're young and they have access. And now they've got more money than ever before because of NIL and stuff. So they are going to do dumb things. Like Nick had mentioned about Davis, but you can look at a bunch of those guys at Georgia and be like, you can have reasons to kind of nitpick some of those dudes. You can text us at 37937. Well, there's a text that came in that I want to read real bad on the whole, like, how do you try to hurt his draft stock? Someone suggested, tell people he's gay, as if that would make it plummet. Yeah, exactly.
Nobody cares.
It's more of a reflection of that person than it is
anything else. That used to be an issue.
Yeah,
not.
Like ripping blunts doesn't matter anymore.
Nobody cares.
If people think that you are a homosexual, it does not matter in the NFL anymore. It never really did.
What do you think would force a team to take a step back if they saw these two things? Okay, with a player, him smoking a blunt or gas mask or doing a keg stand at a frat party. Which one of those scenarios do you think a GM or a head coach would be like, oh, no, we can't, too risky?
As crazy as it sounds, it's going to be the keg stand.
It's going to be the keg stand. Is that nuts? I agree with
you.
Yeah,
because
the freaking
it's
keg
the,
stand.
Oh, they're,
hey, I'm
they're
in
crazy
Lake Havasu,
or
Arizona, spring break. Woo!
There we go. I'm in Tulum, Mexico.
Yeah, smashing beers on my head.
Exactly.
Oh,
there'd be people who look at that
crazy.
Much more differently than they would.
All these guys went to college. They are all part of the party life. They were all, maybe some of them are in a frat, or maybe they're on a team, which is basically a de facto frat. And let's tell the stories about your, locker room experience in the 70s.
Hell,
are you kidding me?
We had a game taken away from us because. Well, my football team went in and beat the hell out of a frat. That didn't look good on anybody. But I've never been asked about it, though. Just like in radio, I've never been been in radio for almost 30 years now, for God's sakes, or whatever, and no one has ever said, oh, what is your advanced education, son? None of that.
I got into a massive, massive fight my senior year before the draft. Huge fight. Pearl Street.
Wasn't publicized at all. No way. This is the first time we're all hearing about this.
It was crazy. It was like it led the news in Colorado. It was a whole thing. I had to hire an attorney. My dad had to fly out from L.A. I mean, it was.
Oh, your dad probably walked in and took over.
No, he did. He did. Yeah, and it was crazy. All the coaches asked me about it at the combine and at my and all my like little visits, and nobody cared at all. Not one person cared. Zero craps given. But if I would have been doing a cake stand or smoking a blunt, we don't know about your character.
You know what's really funny?
We don't know about it. We can't really trust you.
Is that not 90s football in a nutshell? I don't want a drinker or a drugger, but I'll take a fighter any day. Am I wrong on that?
That's my point. That's why I'm laughing about it. I shouldn't have been worried.
I had an old nutty offensive line coach at URI in the 90s. There was this guy who was, I won't even say his name. He's a hardened criminal, killed people, stuff like that. in the ACI. But at the time, there was a lot of like legal challenges or whatever. I remember my offensive line coach being like, I'm going to go get that guy out of the ACI. Show you what it's like to be tough.
I know.
That's what I want.
It is.
Like comparing.
It's such an asset.
It's like, yeah, I want you to fight like a murderer. Yeah. It's like, oh, my God, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, and they would, and then those
but
were
But that
the
was
ad,
90s no, football.
Yes, it's
but
like.
But God forbid, yeah, God forbid we share a, you know, a joint.
It's,
but,
it's completely flipped now.
But if you go, but if you defend the quarterback and beat someone's ass and leave him laying in a parking lot, we'll defend you up and down. It's wild.
It's crazy. Man, I was shaking my boots back then, too.
Oh, of course.
God, I got the
call
in the morning.
You're about to go to the NFL.
Man, coach would like to see you in the office. Dude, what happened?
Nothing worse than that, right?
It's like, geez.
The old, when the football secretary calls, we need you to come down to the office.
And they
like
won't tell you why?
Yes.
It was like 9 a.m.
Yeah, now and that's what you do to your kids to freak them out. Yeah, I need to talk.
Straight.
Yeah, I'm good for the text. Yeah, we're going to talk when I get home. That way you can think about it all day. That's what I got.
Yeah.
That's what my mama do. Well, I wait till your dad gets home.
Oh, that was always the threat.
Oh, yeah. Well, dad's working midnight shift. She go, well, good. He'll be home before you get sent to school. It's like, damn. And I knew it was coming. Kidding me? A backhand, a forehand of some kind, something or other. Rodney Harrison, he ain't lobbing no opinions on this one. Rodney Harrison with some strong thoughts on what the Patriots should do at number 3 next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, more Gresh and Fourier
on WEEI
and streaming on WEEI.com.
I gotta tell you, folks, I am so excited for today's show. Not only because Andrew Raycroft's going to join us to talk hockey at around 11:25, and maybe we hit another parlay and we got Lou Maloney, but at 1:30, we're going to introduce you to Strudel the Furry. So if you like Strudel, ladies and gentlemen, at 1:30, you are going to get a big old Strudel story.
And really from 12:45, on, the stories are actually so unbelievable.
It's what Radio Chick 81 always says, the off the rails Friday in the final hour.
It's true, though.
It is.
Yeah.
Although next Friday, we're going to have to be on point because we'll be in Detroit.
So excited now about our dinner. Our buddy dinner.
Are you going to the right place or not?
No, we'll see.
Here's what I've learned.
What have you learned,
Chris? Let it happen.
Yep.
We can always clean it up later.
Okay.
That's kind of the way I look at it.
I like that.
And if I feel like it's got to be a whoa, wait a minute, then I'll throw up the stop sign. But otherwise, it's like, okay. It is wild how Christian and my wife are so alike. Like, reactionary, can be impulsive at times.
Nick, do you co-sign on this?
I've never met his wife, but it sounds like you.
Okay. All right.
She's been like, oh, I think you're exactly like Christian. There have been stuff that you and I have talked about where I'd be like, oh, yeah, my wife thinks this. And it's like, oh, I'm completely with her.
Same way.
My wife's been all over me on the whole, I have thousands of questions for Christian. And I'm just like,
You should bring her on and let her ask
them. No.
Why not?
No.
You know, she does have the ability to call
if she
wants to.
Well, first of all, that would require her to be
from Betsy.
No. The questions that she has for you are not airable.
Like what?
I can't roll one out.
Okay, make it, clean it up.
I can text you one.
All right, text me one.
No.
Tell me during the break.
No, I think
because there's
would
no
be...
way we're getting to the Rodney stuff in this.
Oh,
in this
no, segment. We are. Yeah, we are because it's quick and hot fire from Rodney Harrison, who I guess was doing like, all I know is that dopey Jack Collinsworth, and then you had Dungy, and then you had, so I don't know if this was like an NBC pre-draft press conference thing, or if this was from a podcast or whatever.
It looked like an NBC like mock draft.
I couldn't figure out what it was, but all I know is Rodney Harrison, boy Fourier, you want to talk about a firm opinion? Here is Rodney on the number three pick.
Rodney, what do they do at quarterback talking about the Patriots?
Well, you're probably going to have to find something in the later rounds or possibly even trade for a quarterback, but there's no way I'm spending the number three pick overall on Drake May. There's no way.
Wow.
So they didn't ask him why?
I think there is a little bit more of that in terms of the – we do have the longer breakdown with Rodney and Dungy. You got that, Nick, right?
Okay.
Here. Take
it. Okay.
Well, let's add to it, and then we'll carry it over to the top.
You talked about two young quarterbacks, but to me, this is not where the Patriots want to take Drake May or, well, at least Drake May. I don't think he's a top three pick. This is an opportunity. You look at the guys, the talent that they have on that roster, not a whole bunch, especially on the offensive side of the ball. DeMario Davis, Tyquan Thornton, Kayshon Boutte, they don't have a lot of talent. So I'm taking Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm taking him with the third pick overall. We talk about him being a generational talent. He is the 2024 version of Randy Moss, big, fast, can catch. He has no weaknesses, coach. And you coached his dad. You know how much of a pain in the butt his dad was at 5'10 around the league. Can you imagine this young man and the imprint that he can make on New England? And I just don't think Drake May is worthy of the third pick overall. I was thinking about this.
That's good, Nick. What do you make of that? He's with me on the whole take Harrison. I've just given up.
No, and I don't think you should because I think there's – see, I told you, like, if I said this last week, I said it again this week, I just don't see – a big difference between Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix. There's subtleties and there's differences unless you are forcing yourself, you are convincing yourself that Drake May, with his measurables and his pedigree, with his athletic family that he comes from, his dad and his brothers and all that stuff, and everybody plays in college, everybody plays basketball or football, or dad, everybody's mom.
He's been groomed
for this. He's 6'4". Mm-hmm. I mean, so he is your – if you know, it reminds me of that scene in Moneyball. Have you seen Moneyball?
I have.
They're talking about –
it's one of seven.
They're talking about what's his face's character? The main character in the whole
Billy
movie.
Bean. Billy Bean.
You're talking about Billy Bean when
played
he's
by
a kid.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah. When he's a kid, right? And the scouts are talking to his parents. He's like, listen, Mr. and Mrs. Bean, you know, he's a five-tool player. He can run, he can hit, he can field, he can hit with power, he can do everything. And you're sitting there going, wow. It's like if you can convince yourself based on Drake May's measurables and college film that he's a five-tool player and he can do everything. You know, when we get him into our system, we get him with our coaches and our weight room, this guy is going to be a star. He wasn't. Just like other players haven't, even though they had the same kind of attributes. I just, like, if you look at them without allowing yourself to be influenced and unbiased and you just look at it for what it is, there's nothing J.J. McCarthy, there's nothing Drake May can do that J.J. McCarthy can't. Now, Michael Penix is a different story, but as far as those two guys, what you're looking for, an inch and a quarter, an inch and three quarters is the only difference in my book. That's it. Height. That's the only thing. They both run really well. They both can run quarterback power. They can both escape if they need to. All of them can.
Well, I think what you're forgetting is that now everybody is going to get what they want, which is, Bill's gone, so we now draft for need around here. It doesn't matter where the player slots in.
Yeah.
And then you have the de facto GM sounding a little thirsty. A little thirsty was Elliott Wolf. It seems like maybe they aren't sold on a quarterback at number three based on what old Elliott was rolling out there yesterday. But I want to continue to pick this up. Because this is people didn't want Bill at the end.
Well, yeah,
and now it should be, well, to hell with it.
Yeah.
Who cares if you're overdrafting someone? Because if you're anti-Bill and the anti-way he ran the draft, then I would think you'd be running around like a puppy with two Peters waiting to overdraft a quarterback at three.
So that
let's continue this.
Yeah, because I want to get your bullcrap meter off this next Elliot Wolf soundbite from yesterday.
Oh, yeah. It sounds, it is the verbal version of what I think is an Instagram post of a partially topless someone online looking to get hearts and clicks. We'll get to all that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.